Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Welcome back to the third hour, the final hour of the Sin Bin for today. The scores so far this round, the Rabbitohs got off to a great start, beating the Broncos 35 points to 6 back there on Thursday night. Manly had their first win only over the Warriors, 13-12. Panthers 30, Raiders 10. Gold Coast 42, Knights 16. 3 tries for David Fifita. Storm 52, Dogs 18. Roosters 26, Sharks 18. Tigers Cowboys in about an hour's time. Para Dragons tonight. And we are now joined by the great Benji Marshall. How are you, Benj? Oh,
mate, I'm great until I walked into that barrage of you attacking me before the show.
Well, mate, you know...
What happened there?
Well, mate, they do it to me every week, so you've just got to...
I know, but you were backstabbing me. Just say it to me. I don't care.
But you were sitting right out there. I couldn't say it to you because you won't answer your phone, brother.
Yeah, that's because you don't have my number, but that's okay.
I couldn't say it to you. Mate, how's every... What are you hearing about Adam Reynolds?
The same you're hearing. Nothing.
Right.
I honestly don't know. But if there's anything to go by, his footy's doing the talking. And showing how valuable he is to us. I thought he was outstanding on the weekend. And just so you know, I actually called the 40-metre field goal for him.
Did you really?
Because I actually wanted him to kick it first.
Okay. Oh, well, appreciate
10 years ago, I probably could have kicked it. Yeah. But a bit older now.
How hard is that, mate, to kick, like?
To be honest, we've been practicing at training a little bit.
Right.
And Latrell and Renault just kick them all the time.
Like, it's, yeah, right.
They make it look so easy. Mm. Seriously, and very accurate.
Yeah. We had Chrissy Sando at our South for a while, and he kicked one or two field goals from, halfway.
Yep. That's not easy, but no. those blokes make it look easy.
Yeah, beautiful. Just sailed over, didn't it?
Mate, beauty.
So you don't have any mail on what's happening there with Adam?
Yeah, I read in the paper he's going Broncos and Cowboys.
Right. Yeah, that's where you get your info from.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Bugle.
From Hoops. Jimmy Brings.
The Little Bay Bugle.
The Little Bay Bugle, yeah. What else, mate? What else is coming out of that game on Thursday night? You blokes did it pretty easy against the Broncos?
Oh, I wouldn't say easy. I actually thought they played pretty well. Like, a lot of people was talking about that they weren't that great, but they actually put us under a bit of pressure. I thought they competed well, and if anything, their last play options probably let them down a little bit. But in terms of their forward pack, I think their forward pack's one of the best in the competition.
Wow, like, that's a massive statement.
Mate, they can roll up the field. You know, and it's just... If you don't get the last part of your sets right with the kick, it can put pressure on what they do defensively, and they're on the back foot. And I think if they just get a little bit go their way in terms of what they do with their kicking game, that could change for them.
In terms of the Broncos, mate, we were talking about Anthony Milford only 10 minutes ago. You've had a little bit to do with Anthony over the years.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of the future there for him? What should he do?
Oh, well, it's hard because he's not playing probably as well as he can, you know, and when you start getting paid $1 million, the expectation raises, right? And everyone starts expecting you to play like that. And the thing is, he's not your guy who's going to lead you around the field. He's not your number seven. He's never going to be that guy who directs the team. He's the guy who should be the, like, if anything, put him to fullback. Move him somewhere where he just has to be a runner.
Yeah.
But imagine signing someone like Adam Reynolds there who could just run your team and let him be free. Because the best we ever saw of Anthony Milford, he had halves around him who could control that. He's not. You don't lose your talent and your class overnight. You lose confidence.
Yeah, right.
Right. And once you start becoming a halfback when you're a 5'8 or a fullback, that's a tough transition, mate. You know, not everyone can do that. So I do feel for him a bit, but you know, he's had 4 years at $1 million. It's pretty happy days.
Yeah, well said, Benj. I think the other issue for the Brisbane Broncos around what they do with Anthony Milford's $1 million a season is Katoni Staggs is off contract, and clearly they need to try and retain all of the gun players that they can. So they've offered him a really good deal, and they are telling him that he can play 5'8 if that's where he wants to play. So I think that's why...
That gets you in trouble, mate. Like, we're talking about playing players who go good in a position in another position that they haven't played in. You know what I mean? Like, let him stay at centre. He's going great there.
I'd be after Reynolds if I was
exactly.
there.
You want a half?
He's tailor-made, purpose-built for what they are looking for. Game manager.
Mate, he could help four or five teams. There's no doubt with what he brings. I reckon he's the best kicker in the game. And as
general play kicking,
and goal kicker.
Yep.
And if you need someone to organise your team and run you around the park, mate, he's top notch. Like on the weekend, I just sat back and let him call all the plays and I just ran off the back of it. It was so easy. Honestly, I just felt like I was back playing with Scotty Prince again. It was just like, it was so calm. And that's what he does to the team. He calms everyone down.
If we are to assume that Adam moves on, where is the South Sydney Football Club? I know we have, they have a couple of players they are transitioning into that position. Where is the progress at with that, Benji?
Oh, there's a couple of young guys coming through. I haven't seen a lot of play, but from training, likewise, they go okay. Like Dean Hawkins played on the weekend. I thought he held his own. Blake Taft's a young guy coming through, but I think he's more like a 5'8/fullback. And then there's another guy, Lachlan Ilias, who plays a bit of halfback, and he's got a little bit to him. But it's hard to say because they haven't done it like that, unproven. And I think Wayne talked about it after the game. When you got someone, you know what he can do. You want to try and hold on to that. So these kids are coming through, but they're going to have to prove themselves. And then you got to ask the questions. Well, does Cody change his game into controlling a bit more? Like, does it move?
Do you want that to happen, though?
What do you mean?
If Cody was to change his game, because that's been another thing that's been pushed now into the narrative, is that perhaps Cody becomes more of an organising playmaker as opposed to his great strength, his instinctive running game.
Yeah, you're going to laugh, but Cody does the calling when he's playing. He calls where the players go. Adam gets everyone there and organises, but Cody does the calling.
Okay.
So I think if they can get someone who can do the organising, if Adam's not there, then he won't have to change his role too much. But, you sort of, like, again, you don't want to have those players to have to change their roles all the time when they're going so good at what they do. But, like we said, that's what salary caps are for, to even out the balance. And once you make those changes, like, someone has to step up or find someone who can.
I just still shake my head at it, though, Anthony. I think you feel pretty similar, being a loud and proud red and green member. Franchise halfbacks don't grow on trees.
No.
And this bloke is a local junior. He's got this great story of, having grown up a punt kick away from Redfern Oval, and all he's ever wanted to do is play for that club. And now, at this stage of his career, they're deciding that they want to go in a different direction. I understand there are restrictions and the constraints around the salary cap, but sometimes I think you just got to try and make things happen.
Yeah, but can't he back himself? Like, the bloke sitting beside you in the studio backs himself. He doesn't have a contract. It's 1 year. You go there, you back yourself.
Are you talking about
and
me?
And see where it gets you.
You're the longest serving.
No, I'm talking about Benji. So like, Adam Reynolds is playing great footy. If he's playing like this next year, there would be no reason why they wouldn't, extend him for the extra year.
Yeah.
But what happens if he gets a long-term injury?
I think that's what his concern is, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what happens if he goes and, like, touch wood, just does something where he's out for the season? Then where does he go from there?
Like everybody else, you retire.
Yeah, but what would you do? Would you want a contract for 4 years?
I retired when I was 30. It doesn't matter, mate. You've had a good run, and there's no guarantees in life. You know what I mean? So, like, if he goes there, if he really wants to stay at South, right, and then all those things that I'm a local junior and I grew up and all that, you back yourself. And you sign that 1 year and you play that good that they got to do again. And if you get injured, well, that's the roll of the dice, Benji. Had to retire at 22 or whatever. And, like, there's some kids that don't even get, other chance to pull on a NRL jersey first grade. So, touch wood that he doesn't get injured, but, that's rugby league.
Yeah, I reckon there's another part to it, though, like where he probably wants to feel the love too, that he's wanted for longer. That's probably a part of it. I felt like that a little bit too, and I can understand that. But Gordy's right. Like, if he does want to stay, he can. But if he's after longevity and wants to look after his family, then he probably won't. So that's a decision he has to make. Yeah. But that's his decision at the end of the day.
It is. It is. But at the end of the day, as long as Adam's okay, his family's okay, that's the most important thing. Now, what about, obviously, Wayne Bennett says this week he's heading back to Brisbane, which everybody knew anyway, and because we know that Jason Demetrio is taking over at Souths. Much like we now hear the Roosters assistant coach Craig Fitzgibbon is probably taking over at Sharks. So we hear a lot about what assistant coaches can do and will do before they actually do it. But, I mean, you've got to be given your start. What can you tell us about Jason Demetrio?
Oh, well, technically and what he knows about the game is unbelievable. Like, I had him from when he first came out of the Cowboys system. After winning the premiership, he came to the Dragons. And then I had him in Brisbane again, now back at Souths. And he knows the game really well. His people management skills, man management skills are really good. But he's just got this knack where he finds a way to get the best out of people. I think that's probably the most important thing.
Mm. All right, boys, we'll take a break and come back. A lot of people have asked us about that interview we did earlier with Peter Volandis. We'll replay that for you again sometime this hour ahead of the Cowboys-Tigers game with James Triceps Hooper, Benji Marshall, Gordon Tallis and Maroon as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. 44 minutes away from kickoff this afternoon on Triple M, the match of the day. We'll see the West Tigers take on the Cowboys at Leichhardt Oval. But before we do, earlier on in the show, we spoke to the boss of the rugby league, Mr. Peter Volandis. We had a lot of calls about people who missed the interview, so we thought we'd replay just a bit of it for you right here. So here it is from earlier in the show. Boys, before we go any further and discuss anything else, let's cross to the boss of the Australian Rugby League, Peter Volandis, on the Sunday Sin Bin. What a get. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
Nice to speak to you, mate. Where are you now? Do you ever get a day off?
No, I'm heading out to Bankwest Stadium for the Parramatta St. George game later this afternoon, Anthony.
All right, we're glad to get you on, Pete. We want to go through a few things. What's on the agenda again is the 17th team in the NRL. Can you tell us how close that is to a decision being made? Wayne Bennett's obviously made it known this week that he wants involvement, so he needs to know so he can figure out his real estate.
Look, I think everyone's ahead of themselves here on the 17th team. We have to do a very diligent analysis, and we're in the process of doing that. We've always said that we wouldn't do the 17th team unless a business case stacked up. There's got to be additional revenues and additional tangible benefits to the game for us to do it. We don't have that report. We don't even have an interim report.
How far away then?
Look, we're looking at making a decision in June or July when all those analyses are completed, and then we'll make an informed decision. Up until then, you know, it's... We'll just keep saying it's got to stack up as a business case. It's got to show other tangible benefits or we won't do it.
So how does it stack up then, Pete? If you're going to have a 17th team come in, they're going to immediately qualify for the $13 million grant that each club gets in the NRL, but you don't have an extra game to sell.
Look, there's plenty of ways where it stacks up, and one of them is participation. One of the great objectives of this commission is to increase participation. Every metric rounds around participation. And if we can increase participation in Queensland, and it's a heartland, we have had some competition up there in the last couple of years and we need to counteract it. We need to keep Queensland a rugby league state. So there's a lot of other benefits other than just financial. But what we've discovered is if people participate, even if it's in tag or touch or in some way, they become fans and they become the viewers in the future when we're selling broadcast rights.
Pete, if you come to June, July, if you decide that you will get another team and that team's based in Brisbane, and then we look to have the team on the field in 2023, and it's, I know it's all ifs and maybes now, but do you think that July 21... 18 months till 2023, is that long enough to get the infrastructure in place, the marketing, the sales, the home ground, the players? Is that enough time to start an NRL franchise?
Look, we believe so. And these three bidders that are competing are very, very well advanced. They have done some substantial work. And they're very impressive in their submissions. So I don't doubt them at all that they could be up and ready by 23. To a certain extent, they could be ready within 6 to 12 months.
Is it right, Pete, that you have run into a little bit of resistance from the existing 16 clubs?
Look, the clubs want to see that it's going to be of benefit to them. They don't want to lose any of their payments, naturally, and I can understand that. And that's why I've always said the business case has got to stack up. It's not going to affect any of the clubs. If anything, it should add value to the competition. It should add value to the existing franchises and bring in new revenues. And I don't think they've got anything to worry about, because we've also said that one of the key aspects for us is we don't want to see the Broncos or the Titans cannibalised, and that's going to be one of the big factors. As I said, the main driving force for me on the 17th team is participation. We want to have new pathways for players up in Queensland. We want to improve the pathways, and the 17th team may be able to do that.
What allowances will you give the 17th team?
Look, as I said, Paul, we haven't discussed any of that. We haven't even got an interim report. So until we get all that information, what I'd be saying now is purely speculative.
Okay.
All right, let's get on to the other big ticket item in relation to your tenure, the rule changes. Everybody has been huge fans of them, but we are starting to see a bit of a divide between the best sides and then the rest of the pack. What's your view?
Oh, look, I think it's overhyped. I think it's exaggerated. I think that, you know, they'll start blaming the potholes in Pitt Street soon on the new rules because they're not, it's not the case. The bottom eight teams after round four in 2019, the difference in the points was 12.4. This year, it's only 8.3. Admittedly, the bottom eight, it was 13.5 in 2019, and it's 19.7 this year. So there is a small increase, but I don't think it's as bad as everyone's making it out to be.
Yeah, and obviously teams have just still got to adjust too, Pete, because it looks like some teams are adjusting to the new rules and their interpretations quicker than other teams.
And absolutely, and I believe that sometimes some of the rules masked elements of the teams and the new rules certainly expose them and they have to adapt, and I'm sure they will adapt over time.
One of the other things, Pete, we saw yesterday was saw Philip Sammy get knocked out in the Newcastle game, Titans-Newcastle, and there's been a lot of talk about the concussion and what's happening there and the recent change to allow an 18th man on the bench and all the rest of it. But one thing that we're not seeing, and I'm still surprised the game is tolerating this, that shot yesterday put Tyson Frizzell on report. But I dare say in any other era, shoulder into the face of an opponent would have been a send-off.
I can't disagree with you, Paul. I believe it should have been at least a sin bin, and which would have brought the 18th player on. So, look, we'll certainly discuss that, and we'll have some new policies put in place to address that, because it's certainly not tolerable at the moment.
We've seen a couple over the weekend where players have been concussed, and players who committed the offence have been put on report, but not sin bin or sent off, which sort of basically negates having the 18th man there if the referees don't have the strength to put him on the bench or to put him in the bin or put him off for the rest of the game.
Look, they've got all the technology at their disposal. They can certainly go back to the bunker and get some advice off them in relation if they believed it was a sin bin or a send-off. There's no excuse. And that's why we made it that it had to be a sin bin or a send-off so it wouldn't be manipulated. Mm. And, you know, as I said, we've got technology. We've got spotters in the room at the bunker. They look at every element of the tackle. So they would know better than anyone if it should be a sin bin or a send-off.
Speaking of spotters in the room, Pete, you're in the Sunday Telegraph today, the What's the Buzz section, spotted at the races with Gil McLaughlin from the AFL. Talk us through that picture.
Well, he wanted to see me eye to eye, so I had to get on a chair because he's about 6 foot. He's about 6 foot nine. Look, now Gil's a very nice guy. He's a very good administrator, and he has to be if he's administrating the AFL. So. It was a very friendly catch up, and I've got a lot of respect for the man.
Did you actually talk any specifics, Pete, about either code?
No, not really. No, it was really a casual day, and it was just a casual conversation. And I think that he was, you know, he was pleased to meet me, and as I was with him, and it was just more casual and entertaining than it was a business.
Did you tip him Cascadian in the Doncaster? Yeah.
No, I tipped him the horse that ran last. I wasn't going to tip him the winner.
That's all right.
All right, Pete, I think we're done here, mate. We've got to move on. Hey, have a great afternoon. Parramatta and the Dragons will be calling that game. And as usual, as a rugby league fan, I thank you for your efforts, mate, and we hope to catch up with you again soon.
No, my pleasure, boys.
There he is, good Wollongong boy there. Peter Volandi's joining us on the Sunday Sinbin here at Triple M, 35 minutes away from kickoff, the beautiful Leichhardt Oval. We talk about it so much. You love it, Hoops. You call it the eighth wonder of the world, which might be a little bit of a exaggeration.
I might have borrowed that off the great Robbie Farrell, one of his teammates, Benji.
Benji, what was it like playing there in front of a packed crowd for the Tigers?
Oh, mate, there was no better place to play on a Sunday afternoon. Nice and sunny, people on the roofs of the houses looking over the ground, packed hill, people knocking back tinnies, yelling out to the other team, giving them a bit of grief. It was just the vibe, man. Like, honestly, in there it was pretty special. You run out to a massive roar and the crowd's on your side, you know, and just the history behind it too. You know, there's been so many great players before you, and when you walk out, you touch the great plaques. There's a West Tigers one at the top, and then you touch the great Laurie Nicol on the side. Yeah, it was special to run out there. It was just, especially with the history there.
Was there a game in particular? I mean, it's a question without notice, but of all the wonderful games you played there, is there a game that sticks out of any era that you guys won and you had a blinder?
Oh, I didn't have many blinders there.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true, but I wanted you to say it. So it's better coming from you. No game in particular, but honestly, like, just the, it's hard to explain if you haven't done it, but yeah, the feeling there of the crowd on your side, or if you make a break and score a try, yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
And be special place today for the West part of the team and remembering the great Tommy Radonikis.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd expect the boys there to draw on that a little bit today. But apart from that, like, I had Tommy come in and do a few talks for the team, and the best thing that we ever got from the talks was how genuine and passionate he was about the club. And when he spoke, it wasn't like crap, you know, it wasn't just talking for the sake of it. Mm. He was saying things that resonate with you as a player, because you knew he went through the hard times, and he was tough, you know, he was the toughest of tough. And when he was talking to your forward pack, like a small halfback, telling your forwards that they need to get their shit together and pull and make sure that they go on the other side of the field and bash their opposite number. And, but the guys would see it from a little halfback and be like, you know, and he was one of the best we ever had come in and talk. And I was lucky enough last year to have him come in, and he wasn't too well then, but just to see him there and the effort he made to come and present the jerseys to us last year is something I'll never forget. And it was probably the last time I saw him. So special moment for me. And I loved and respected what Tommy did for the club. And as a player there, we loved having him around.
Good on you, Bench. Well said. Benji Hoops, Scotty Tallis and Maroon, we're going to take a break and come back with a segment where Hoops takes a look at what's going on in the NRL, player news, et cetera, et cetera. He's good for two scoops. That's why they call him Hoops. What does the Fox say? It's coming up next.
Australia. Anything can happen on the day, and no doubt anything will happen on the day.
The weekend is here, and so are the thrills and spills that go with it. For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. We're only 25 minutes away from kickoff. West Tigers, Cowboys. Cowboys are looking like 0-4 and maybe 0-5 after this week. Just that West Tigers side. Well, obviously, Joey Leilua comes back into the side in number 19. Brooks will start in jumper number 22, the number 7 jumper being rested today. And Offa Hengawi will start in the back row with Garner moving to the bench. Mbai also on the bench in jumper number 4. And that's how the Tigers look at this stage. But before we go any further, it's time for this. Here he is, Jimmy the Fox Hooper, with what's going on around town. Well, of course, Hoops, the big story this weekend, certainly in the last 24 hours, has been Craig Fitzgibbon. Looks like he might get the job as the head coach at Cronulla.
Yeah, it's caught fire, hasn't it, in the last 72 hours, this story. So, look, I think behind the scenes, the Sharks decision makers have been busily trying to do things under wraps and keep things quiet. But as we know in rugby league, there's no such thing as secrets 99% of the time. And so this story's now begun to make its way into the public domain. In all likelihood, I don't think the deal's done yet. I don't think that Craig Fitzgibbon has signed anything. But I think in all likelihood, it'll get done within the coming weeks, and he'll probably agree to a 3-year contract with the Cronulla Sharks to take over from 2022 onwards.
What do you think the hierarchy at the Roosters would be saying to that? Would they be saying, all right, this is a great opportunity for you, Fitzy, or would they be saying, what can we do to keep you here?
They love Craig Fitzgibbon. They see him as a Rooster through and through. He won premierships there as a player. He's been part of the coaching staff when they've also won further premierships as an assistant coach as well. They would love to keep him, but I think they also understand that there's only so many head coaching positions in the NRL. And as a result of that, they would give him their blessing if that's what he desires. That's the amount of respect that they've got for him.
Well, I guess,
but it would have made some waves for sure, because similar to the Melbourne Storm, the Roosters are now a club that all clubs like to try and pick the eyes out of their assistant coaches. Like, we've seen it so many times over the years, whether it's been Jason Taylor many years ago, to Adam O'Brien more recently, now Fitzy. You go down to the Melbourne Storm and look at all the assistants that have now got primary positions in the NRL. Adam O'Brien at Newcastle. We've seen Stephen Kearney get plenty of opportunities out of the Melbourne system. Madge McGuire's at the West Tigers. So, yeah, the other teams look at the Chooks and like what they do, and as a result of that, their assistants are frequently targeted.
Mm. Well, I guess Gordy, perhaps a part of the Roosters are saying, he goes off to Cronulla 4 or 5 years down the track, Robbo wants to pull the pin, we get him back, and now he's had experience as an NRL coach.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I don't think that you never can ever know whether someone's ready unless they get the, you know, the top job. And Fitzy's got a lot of respect out there, isn't he? Like, you hear his name pop up a lot, and a bit like Craig Bellamy knocking back the West Tigers years ago. Like, I think he's got offered jobs, and he's just, you know, biting his time until the job comes along that he really wants, and you know, give himself the best opportunity to succeed, because it's a tough job coaching.
He's knocked a couple of positions back, Gordon, you're spot on. Yeah. There was the Dragons and then also the New Zealand Warriors as well last season. So I think with this one, it just all seems to align, because you know, his dad, Alan, was famously involved under Jack Gibson when Jack was the coach at the club. Alan then took over from Jack and had success when the likes of Andrew Eddinghausen and Sparkles McGaw, those sorts of players, were in that Cronulla side. So it does make a lot of sense.
Benji, what about you hear about the downfall and how cutthroat it is being an NRL coach? And a bloke like you, I guess you know, you're at a crossroads now where you could probably either have a career in coaching or have a career in the media. Do you look at that and think, well, the media seems a lot more safe?
Well, you've been around for a while, and I don't know how you've done it, but it definitely must be pretty safe. But to be fair, mate, who would want to be an NRL coach? Yeah. Seriously, how cutthroat is it? Not me. We talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Poor old John Morris. He's doing his best and had pretty fair results, and to wake up, and you know, that was 65 minutes into being the winners last night.
Yeah.
They were pretty good, you know, and outclassed at the end. But you know, you're waking up reading that story. How are you feeling this morning, you know? Mm.
Can I ask you this just on John Morrison, specifically that game last night, the tactic of kicking to Daniel Tupou, so rather than to Tedesco, and then taking Tupou out as a play two option, did you like it?
I think a lot of people do that because Tupou is probably the best running winger in the game, and is offload off the back of it, gets them on the front foot quite often. So if you can catch it or tackle him standing with no run-up, it takes him out of play two and play three. You know, whereas if you let Teddy get on the front foot, then Tupou's on the front foot, then the Roosters' middles come into play and they're more devastating. But, geez, he's a good player, Tupou. Mm, so you've got to do everything you can to try and shut him down.
Boys, back to what does the Fox say? Now, obviously, Manly had their first win up there on the Central Coast on Friday night. Now, what's the latest on Tom Trbojevic?
Yeah, it was gritty. It wasn't pretty, that victory that you just touched on for the Seagulls. Great kick by DCE.
Thanks.
And the good news for Manly further to that is that Tommy Turbo will be back next weekend. So massive in. He's obviously one of the heartbeats of the side, along with Daly Cherry Evans and his brother Jake. So, yeah, I think great news for Manly fans, and just love watching him play.
Oh, they'll get a rise out of that. Like, the confidence that he'll bring to the side just from him being there, is it'll be infectious. So I was happy for them the other day. You know, they've done it a bit tough, copped a lot of flack, and even a guy like Cherry, you know, hasn't had his best sort of opening four rounds, but to be able to clutch that moment and get his confidence back, because we all know how good he can be. And I was happy for him because they've been under the pump.
All right. What about Josh Maguire? We keep hearing he might be off to the Dragons.
Yeah, I think that deal should get finalised this week. So he'll join the Red V and Anthony Griffin effective immediately. The Cowboys will obviously have to chip in a little bit of freight. He'll sign for this season and then next year as well. And Josh Maguire has probably played his last game for the North Queensland Cowboys because he's not featuring today.
Okay. Oh, Gordy, something like this. Now, here's the Cowboys. They haven't won a game this year. They're obviously struggling for numbers. They've got some injuries. They're struggling for depth. Why would they let Josh Maguire go and join another club?
Oh, probably just to free up some money. But you'd think, you know, he's a guy that squeezes a lot out of the orange, doesn't he? Like, he's a small body, but he plays so big. He plays quality minutes. He's, you know, and he's really disappointed, I think, with the way they're playing. It must just be a personality clash or whatever, and Josh wants to leave, you know. I don't know too much about it, but, you know, to lose a player like that, that when you've got young kids and you're trying to teach them how to win, you're like, oh, they talk about Tommy Radonikis, how he's a winner. You know, Josh is one of those guys, you know, that he just does everything right.
Okay, that's what does the Fox say?
I think there might be one more item.
Okay,
seeing as
all right.
We've got Benji here now.
Hot off the press.
We can actually,
okay.
Benji will be afforded right of reply.
Right.
Here we go.
I love you, Benj. I believe Benji Marshall returns everyone else's phone call. It's only me he brushes. But that's another thing, Pete. Another thing,
let it go, mate. Let it go.
Why I'm bitter and twisted.
Well, this is what, you know, I mean, why don't you get
it? Can we just clarify? That was yesterday's football call for Triple M?
Yeah.
Why did you feel you needed to go there?
Well, I'm just a bitter little man with too much time on my hands.
Seriously.
Now, he's changed his phone number. He won't give me the new number. I mean, he's had
surprised.
A crack at me. He just said 3 minutes ago, how have I survived for 30-something years?
Well, you asked the question, mate. What would I prefer, media or coaching? Well, looking at you, probably media, because you're still here. That's all I meant.
I mean, we're off to a rocky start, but it's only round five, right? I think maybe we need to go and have some sort of mediation with the HR lady or something.
Nah, you'll be fine. He's at the Bunnies now, so you'll both be on the same page.
Imagine I wasn't. Imagine what I'd be copying if I wasn't.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate. You've done a great job with that. You like our little Corey Thompson, aren't you? You just keep bringing the ball back.
That's a wrap, Anthony.
Yeah, yeah, he's going good.
Cousin. And Benj, I love you, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't want to say it back? Or?
You know when you say it, she says, I love it. She says, thank you. That's how I feel. Thanks.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about this Tigers-Cowboys game as Triple M rocks the footy.
The McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, and thanks to Tyre Power. Let's have a look at the scores so far this round. South 35, Broncos 6, Manly 13, Warriors 12, Panthers 30, Raiders 10, Gold Coast 42 against a depleted Knights side 16. Also, Storm 52, Dogs 18, Roosters 26, Sharks 18. So this next game that's coming up on Triple M in about 10 minutes' time, Cowboys-Tigers, they're in a world of pain at the moment, the poor old Cowboys. They're down there, equal last position. This could be their fifth straight loss to open up the season. He's under a bit of pressure, Todd Payton. In his early days, you've had a bit to do with him, Benji. What sort of a bloke is he?
Yeah, he's a pretty straight up and down guy. Like, he doesn't hide anything. You know, he doesn't he's pretty honest. Like, he'll be up front with you with what he thinks, and he's obviously done that with a couple of his players coming out publicly. And today, though, is going to be a big challenge for him because, you know, you look at their team, they're not the same Cowboys team that they've had in the past. You know, there's a lot of guys missing from there, like no Michael Morgan, no Tamalolo. So it's going to be a very tough ask for him today. But they got every right for a reaction this week. You know, they've been under the pump for 4 weeks. Come to Leichhardt, try and have a bit of an ambush mentality. You know, they got their halves retiring. One of their greatest halves, Michael Morgan, had to retire during the week. So they got every reason to come out and play today. But, geez, it looks like a tough ask for them today, to be fair. Mm. Like, the Tigers have got Tommy Radonica's stuff. So both teams will be up for it. But if the Tigers can play defensively how they played the last couple of weeks, I think they can get them.
What about you, Gordy? Do you give the Cowboys, being a North Queensland boy, do you give them any chance this afternoon in Sydney?
Look, it is going to be tough for all those regions, but, you know, they got to enjoy this occasion. It's a massive occasion, you know, so they're going to go to Leichhardt. It's a tough place to win. If you're ever a footy player, you would love this moment. You would love to be there, and it's not spoiling the party. It's playing and respecting Tommy, but, you know, the Cowboys have been down a little bit, but it'll be a great atmosphere and it can bring out the best in you. And then they just got to compete. They just got to go just in case they're needed and just keep on turning up until, you know, just until they win one or two or three moments and the scoreboard starts ticking in their favour.
Okay, who do you like here, Hoops? I know you're a Tigers man through and through.
Yeah, the Tigers would be very hard to beat at Leichhardt Oval on a Sunday arvo. So
let's just call them West today, eh? Let's just call them.
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely. Call them West today, given the events of the week. And I think with the number 7 jumper retired for Tommy, the players will want to go out and give a really good account of themselves.
Okay, well, I'm happy to call them West for today, but just so you know, Gordy and Hoops, you don't tell me what to do, okay? And the next game tonight, of course...
Listen here, tennis ball, Ed. Spalding.
Oh, you're a tough man, 1,000 kilometres away in the Triple M studio.
Any danger you're getting your
opportunity next week, Anthony.
Pardon?
I'll be sitting right in there with you.
Oh, buddy, I'll pick you up from the airport.
No, don't worry about it,
no, that's okay.
Do you know what? I'd rather walk.
Yeah, no, I'll pick you up, mate. Don't walk. I'll pick you up. Don't worry about that, old mate. Now, then tonight, this is going to be a good game. Parramatta and the Dragons. Dragons are going all right this year. They've won a couple of games. Benj, you've been a Dragon as well, and it's great to see these blokes playing with some pride in the famous jumper.
Yeah, and it looks like they got a bit of confidence out of it. Like, I was obviously there's a lot of talk after the Charity Shield that it was going to be a long year for them. You know, it was going to be a tough year. But they've turned it around. Like, I think the acquisition of Andrew McCulloch has really helped guys like Ben Hunt. I thought Corey Norman stepped up his game enormously. Mm. Like, last week was really good. But the thing that impressed me the most about calling their game last week was their forward pack went and took on the Newcastle forward pack. Like, they gave it to blokes like Clemmer. They gave it to Safidi. Young Blake Laurie, not a well-known guy, but coming out of the line, stamping his authority, he was their leader. Like, he's a young front rower, up and coming, and he was leading them. You know, and if they can play with that same defensive mindset again, they can get the Eels today.
Okay, Gordy, how far can the Dragons go? Can they? Are they a top eight contender?
Oh, yeah, I think they are. You know, what we've seen in the first month, especially Corey Norman, he just likes being the big dog. If he can keep this form up and their kicking game's good, and as you said, like, their young forwards, mate, they're rolling up their sleeves. Tarek Sims, he's turned back the clock. He's playing the best football that I've watched. And but if they keep on playing like that, yeah, absolutely they can.
How about you, Hoopsie?
I like what they've done so far, as Benji just touched on. The recruitment of Andrew McCulloch, I think a lot of us were a little bit sceptical initially because he was coming off a major injury. And we weren't certain that it would be a better option than Cam McInnes. McInnes was ruled out anyway as a result of an ACL at training over the summer, but he's been simply brilliant, McCulloch. Then you add to that the likes of Tarek Sims, Paul Vaughan. All the players across the board have improved since Anthony Griffin's arrived, which is surprising off the back of what was a really disappointing Charity Shield.
Okay, CC and Dry, if you're over beer, nominate your beer fridge for eviction and Canadian Club will replace it with a new one, fully stocked with Canadian Club and Dry, to be in the running to win one of 200 Canadian Club fridges. Upload a picture of your old beer fridge to win page and explain in 25 words or less why it's time for it to be evicted. That's all you need to do. Entries will be judged and winners will be drawn every week up until April 15. Head to the win page and upload your pick now. That's about it for us. Have a great call this afternoon, Benji.
Yes.
We'll catch you on NRL 360 Hoops, and Gordy will see you in Sydney next week.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, Dan Ganane's going to call that game for you next. Should be a beauty. Cowboys and West Tigers as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.